to the Grace Hour, the live international talk radio ministry of Greater Grace Church in Baltimore, Maryland. You can join us on the air today by calling 1-800-338-7060 or 410-483-3700 from outside of the United States. Now, here is our host.
And welcome, friends, to this edition of the Grace Hour. We're broadcasting live here from our studios, which are located at the home of the Greater Grace World Outreach in Baltimore, Maryland. And it's great to be with you, friends, on this Thursday afternoon. And those of you that are familiar with our Thursday afternoon broadcasts know that we'll be playing a tape message from the founder of the Grace Hour, host of the broadcast for so many years, Pastor Carl Stevens. So stay tuned for his message. That'll be coming up momentarily, and it's, well, the title of the message is Divine Coverings, A Message for the New Year. And isn't it wonderful? And we're so grateful that we can share a message from the founder of the Grace Hour, Pastor Stevens, as we approach and begin this new year together. So stay tuned for that. It's going to be a good one, friends, and we hope that you will join us for that. And following his message, we'll open the phone lines. We hope you'll participate in that part of the broadcast as well. It's quite simple. When those lines are open, fill them up with your calls. Join us. Participate. Make your contribution to our broadcast today by dialing one of the following numbers. Toll free in all of North America, that number is 800-338-7060. Again, 800-338-7060. And the local number, 410-483-3700. And we look forward to taking your phone calls live on this Thursday edition of the Grace Hour following Pastor Stevens' message today. We'd like to welcome our local listening audience on WRBS right here in Baltimore. Thanks for joining us, friends. And a reminder for you, too, that you can join us again following the message during the first half of the broadcast. And you can you stay with us and find a way to transition over to the internet at gracehour.org. You can join us for the hour-long broadcast. We hope many of you will do just that. I'd like to take the opportunity to welcome all of you that are listening on the internet at gracehour.org. Those of you listening and watching, Facebook Live, YouTube Live, pleasure to have all of you with us as we begin our Thursday afternoon broadcast. And keeping with our theme this week, all things are new in Christ. And Pastor Stevens' message for the new year, we're looking forward to hearing that. And we hope that many of you, once you hear the thoughts shared in today's devotional message, may decide to join us by picking up that phone and dialing one of those numbers. We'll share those numbers with you throughout the broadcast, so if you didn't catch them, you can jot them down as we will repeat them throughout the broadcast. And hope to hear from many of you on this Thursday edition of the Grace Hour. So without further ado, let's turn our attention to Pastor Stevens' message. Again, it's entitled, Divine Coverings, A Message for the New Year.
It is God's heart, honestly, and I say this with all the fervency of divine conviction, with all the enlightenment of God's illuminated word, with all the revelation of the Holy Spirit. It is God's heart to make all things new. And the moment you get saved, He makes all things new in the Father's sight. And the second you truly believe that He died and shed His blood and was buried and rose again, old things are passed away. And all as we begin to believe it and receive it, and express it and experience it, and respond to it and digest it and assimilate it, all things become new. So Jesus said, I will do a new thing. You shall not know it. He says in the Word of God in Isaiah that I will bring to pass hidden things which you have not seen and make them known unto you. And they will be new. Hidden things that you have not seen, they shall come to pass. You've never known them. Now you will know them. Now they shall spring forth. Now I shall make them known to you, and I will tell you beforehand that they're coming. Now these verses, which are written for our edification and for our learning, in Romans 15:4, and for our example, in 1 Corinthians 10:11. Jesus Christ, under a new covenant, with a new kind of provision, and a new way, and a new truth, and a new life, even to his own. So the Word of God says so beautifully in John 8:29. And I want you to think of Jesus as I give you these verses, because they are precious. I always do the things that pleased him. Always. The words that I speak, the thoughts that I think, my responses, the work that I do, my initiations, I always do those things that please the Father. You see, because my life is a derived life. If I could tell you, says Jesus, about my identity, if you see the Father, you see me, because you see everything that the Father does, I do. And I always submit to him. And I've honored him in every detail. And therefore, if you see my identity, you will see the Father's identity. And I have provided a way for you to understand it. Because I always put God the Father first. Because the Son can do nothing of himself in John 5:19. The thoughts that I think, the words that I speak, the works that I do, they are of the Father. In John 14:11. I emptied myself, even though I was always deity in my hypostatic union. I emptied myself of deity and strictly lived in my humanity and submitted that humanity to the divine deity of the Father, so that everything that I did was derived. And I wouldn't even consider doing a single thing that wasn't derived. God chose my thoughts. He chose my words. He chose my works. God the Father chose everything for me. He chose my location. And I delighted to do his will. And lo, I have come to do his will in Hebrews 10:9, and I delighted in it. Everything that I did was so beautifully gracious in the delight of pleasing the Father. Now that is what the Word of God says. I, says Jesus, put God's needs first. He said he wanted me to seek and to save the lost, and no matter who they were, where they were, he wanted me to die for them and shed my blood for them and pay for all their sins. And I put those needs first. Many times I had no place to lay my head in Matthew 8:20. I put the Father's needs first. God, as man, had no place to lay his head. They call me the carpenter's son. They said, is there any good thing can ever come out of Nazareth, in John 1:47? You see, I put God, the Father's need first. I didn't talk light talk. Foolish jesting, talk of convenience, talk of comfortability. My talk was always derived from the Lamb that was slain before the foundation of the world in Revelation 13:8. I put the Father's needs first, and I put the Father's will first. I didn't rationalize it. I didn't humanize it. I didn't naturalize it. It was such a thrill. I delighted in it. I put the Father's will first. And in every crisis, I said, not my will, but thine be done. No question, no procrastination. In Matthew 26:39. And now, I have brought you a covering. And when even Adam sinned, I killed an animal pointing to Jesus Christ, and there was shedding of blood. And I took the skins from the animal and I covered them. A picture of covering sinners who believe on me with a robe of righteousness. I covet them. In Psalm 85:2, my covering covers all sins. And in Proverbs 10:12, love covers all sin. And Habakkuk 2:3 is the glory of God covers the heavens. Even so, my glory covers every single person that comes to the Father through me. And even in Genesis 6:14, as the ark had pitch within and pitch without, and it protected all the people within, and the word pitch meant covering, covering within, covering without. And even in Genesis 7 and 20, as the floods covered the mountains, so my love covers you and all the height of your iniquity. I've covered you, C-A-P-H-A-R, in many different ways. Job said in 33 and verse 24, I was down in the pit, but I found atonement. I found a covering. Reconciliation through the blood, a covering. A covering. A covering that in Isaiah 6, 7, when Isaiah's lips were purged, it meant that not only were his sins covered, but they were wiped away forever and loosened from him, because the word purge means perfect divine covering. And even as the angels in the sixth chapter of Isaiah and the second verse, their wings covered their feet and covered their body, so you couldn't recognize. And my covering through the blood and through the cross and through efficacious grace makes it possible so that you can say with all your heart and mean it, it is not I, but it is Christ. And he is all in all. In Colossians 3:11, and he is my life, he is my covering. Jesus Christ, the precious Lord of my life. 16 times in the book of Leviticus 16, we have that word covering. Adam has been covered, past, present, and future, through the blood of Jesus Christ. And God says, I want you to understand covering. I want you to understand that I, who derive my identity and my humanity from God the Father, and everything that omniscience could reveal to me, and everything that God the Father could teach me every morning, in Isaiah 50 and verse 4, I derived it. And as a child growing up, not taking advantage of my deity of whom I was, I began to receive from and receive him, and grew up as a child in all facets of childhood. In Luke 2:52, and I always was about the Father's business. I put him first, I put his needs first, and I put his will first. And everything that he did, even though I never sinned, he covered me. And now, through my redemption and through my atonement and justifying each believer by grace through the blood, I want to cover men. I want to cover their minds and cover their emotions and cover their conscience and cover their volition and cover their heart and cover their bodies and cover their environment and protect them against demonic atmosphere. For the head of every single man is Christ. And I want to make all things new, and from now on I want it to spring forth. Hidden things that they have never known, and I will tell them before it happens. And I want to bring in this new spirit, this new heart, this new mind. Because in human relationships, in marriage, over and over again, before the marriage is ever dissolved, the couple who's supposed to be one in heart, in soul, in mind, in conviction, in commitment, in dedication, in thinking, in responding, the couple, before they ever think of arguing and getting a divorce, their emotions separate. Their thinking separates. Their values separate. Their decisions separate. Their motives separate. And when one is on track with God and the other isn't in tune with the vibrations of grace, the gift of mercy, the power of God's experiential righteousness, first the couple enters into a marital civil war. And many times they cover it, and Jesus Christ is not able to cover the man, because the man steps out from under that precious covering, that rainbow of mercy, that when the publican in Luke 18:13 said, "Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner," one of the synonyms for that is, "Be my covering and wipe away all of it, please. I can't even look up to you." And the man steps out of that sacred spiritual light, that spiritual integrity that gives him eternal security, that spiritual love that energizes him and empowers him and gives him wisdom from above that is pure and peaceful without compromise of God's character of holiness. The man steps out, and there is a mental detachment. And abstract spirits and impersonal love comes into marriage, and then they have moments of stimulation and moments of oneness and moments of effort. But oh, to get back into that covering that God has provided for every marriage. And so 1 Corinthians 11:3, complementing 1 Corinthians 14:40, God does all things decently and in order. He forgives you the moment you get saved, wipes away everything before you start to say anything. See, all things decently in order. Comes in to live when you're still a baby in Christ and don't understand it. He comes in and puts you in that perfect position, seated above and hid with Christ in God. And all of that is your covering. And the moment you fail, he said simply, homologeo, name it, acknowledge it, and the blood will take it away from your conscience and your experience. And just like that, you're back under the covering again. And then the wife, delighting to submit to God's man, delighting in it. The yoke is easy and the burden is light because of Christ. And she finds rest under her soul. And as he learns to lay down his life in love, she enjoys not just a human covering with human resources and human provision and human stimulation and human conversation, but now comes the revelation of things from above. And she comes under a covering with her mind, her emotions, and her body, and her capacity for life. Jesus said, "I want you to do this for me. I want you to get to know me so intimately that you delight to do my will. I want you to eat the lamb and drink the blood spiritually and to continue in my words, knowing the truth and letting the truth set you free." 14-year-old boy, number one Christian in his class. He was with us in Lenox, doing beautifully, then went away with his family because his father had a better job. At the age of 17, he started secretly drinking, lost all of his convictions, told me in a letter at the age of 19, came down with leukemia. And he wrote, and he said, "I don't have any identity. It's almost everything I knew, it can't come back. And the greatest days of my life, when I was 13 and 14, he said, "The teachers, the word from the pulpit, the folks that expressed themselves in the assembly, I relive it, I redream it, as I have 7 or 8 weeks to live." His father didn't listen to God when he went for more money. And the father, who isn't getting along good with his mother, and a daughter is no longer the same. The father moved the money and took his family geographically out of the will of God, and they lost their covering that God had for their life. They didn't delight to do God's will. Jesus is our head. The Father that plans our life is our covering. The Son that executed it and bought us and shed His blood to cover us is the executor of our covering. And the Holy Spirit uses categorical doctrine to cover our minds and our thoughts and our decisions and our purpose from demons and Satan and the forces of hell. And then the body of life expresses those diverse portions of Jesus Christ, and they express the fellowship of God, and they surround one another, including their pastor, and God has a plan on earth to cover us while we're still believer priests, standing or falling before God individually, making our own decisions, living our own life, but we come under this wonderful, delegated covering by God. The word in season, the covering, until finally we say, oh God, not my will, but thine will. Number one, I seek your kingdom first and your righteousness. And I seek your needs first. And I know your needs are Baltimore and Washington and Annapolis and Delaware and Maryland. I know your needs are New England and America. I know your needs are El Salvador and Brazil and Chile and the Panama and the Philippines and Puerto Rico and Portugal and Moscow and all of Russia and Europe. I know your needs there. And whatever my will is with you, I want to put your needs first. And I want to put your needs first in the body to love them and lay down my life for them. Paul said so beautifully in Philippians, the 2nd chapter and the 17th verse, he said, even I pour out myself as a drink offering for the sacrifice and service of your faith. And he said in 2 Timothy 4 and verse 6, I am ready to be offered up. My time of departure is at hand. And he said, I fought a good fight. I finished the course and I kept the faith. We need to have an identity that's according to faith, obedience through the cross in a living way. Oh, that the cross of Jesus Christ, with its power, with its beauty, with its joy, with its conviction, would be a part of us every day through the mercies of God. And oh, that we would pour it out our life for God's needs first, and then how He leads us to meet His needs with others. And oh, that we would not be filled with complacency. I'll serve God when it's convenient. I'll do things when it's comfortable, but I'm busy. I have a family. No. No, this could be your year to meet God. This might even be the year He comes back. Nobody knows. This is a year when the unknown is going to happen, the hidden things. This is a year when God wants to conform us to the image of His precious Son as we present our bodies a living sacrifice. And as we begin the new year in thanksgiving and in praise, and as we think with Jesus Christ in the morning, thank Him, breathe in His truth, exhale His love, focus on Him. Lord, I'm presenting myself to You, and I'm going to be a godly husband and a godly wife and a godly friend and a godly local assembly member, because I'm going to redeem this precious thing called time, because it's most assuredly late, and in 1 Corinthians 7:29 it is so short, and I will redeem it.
Well, there's the conclusion, friends, of today's Grace Hour message. Divine coverings, a great message for the start of a new year. We hope you enjoyed that message as much as we did listening to it here in our studios. Some great thoughts shared by Pastor Stevens in that tape message, and we would like to continue to discuss some of those wonderful thoughts and great principles that we heard about these divine coverings for all of us through Christ, through His finished work on Calvary's cross. You can join us live, friends. We have just a couple of minutes left in the first half hour of our broadcast. That is before we have to sign off on our local station here in Baltimore. But then a second half hour is coming up, and we'll dedicate that second half hour to your phone calls all you need to do is reach out to us here at the Grace Hour by dialing one of the following numbers, toll-free, in all of North America, Canada, including the United States, 800-338-7060. Again, that is the toll-free number, and the local number for those of you listening here in the greater Baltimore area is 410-483-3700. And we'd love to hear what your thoughts are as you enjoyed, I imagine, today's message. A great one to get things started in the new year and to fit beautifully into our new theme all this week on the Grace Hour. All things are indeed new in Christ Jesus. So again, Tess has written to us from Malmo, Sweden. Said, what a profound message. Agreed, Tess. Thanks for reaching out to us. Teresa is listening locally. Marion Haynes sends her greetings. Julie is listening and watching over in Great Britain. And Carol Ann in Finland loves Throwback Thursdays with the messages from Pastor Stevens. And we're with you, Carol Ann. I think that everybody listening today, and many of you were listening online on Facebook Live as well, enjoyed that message. So we're going to take the next few moments to remind you that this is a great opportunity for you to join us and to weigh in. Those of you that have shared with us how much you enjoyed the message, well, why don't you pick up the phone and share with our listeners around the globe what was it in particular that you enjoyed about that message? What thoughts really captured your hearts as you tuned in to the Grace Hour today? Think about what he said when we step away or step out of those coverings for our lives. You know, the covering of the blood of Jesus, the covering of the cross, the covering of the body of Christ, all of the coverings, which are such a divine provision for our lives from God. Let's stay covered. And of course, we are as we continue to abide in Christ. That is our goal. That's our objective for the new year. And we believe it's yours as well. So, friends, again, the phone lines are open. 800-338-7060, toll-free number. Anywhere in North America, you can dial that number. And in the greater Baltimore area, 410-483-3700. And if you have to sign up, we understand. Everyone else, stay right where you are. The next half hour is coming right up. We're back with you live at gracehour.org. Facebook Live, YouTube Live. I'm in the studio with Pastor Steve Androlonis. You were just listening to Pastor Stephen's message, and based upon the responses we're getting on Facebook Live, YouTube Live, it was a good one.
Yeah, we think about those some of those topics. It's, you know, the covering of God, having that, what is it? There's a psalm that says, he brings me into his pavilion, and we think about that just being, you know, sheltered in the storms of life. And I like to think of the story of Joshua the high priest in Zechariah when Satan is accusing him. He's got filthy garments, and the Lord says, take his garments away, give him new garments. When I think of covering, I'm thinking of having, you know, fresh clothes from God all the time, just being enveloped in who he is. And, you know, I think Paul wrote that statement, we are hid with Christ in God. I think that's the ultimate covering. You know, Pastor Arnaldo Brown last night talked about armor, and he put a nice spin on it, like saying, like, you know, not a nice spin, but he did say, you know, the reality is that we don't strap on our own armor. We allow ourselves to be filled with the Holy Spirit, and then the armor sort of comes upon us from the inside out. It's like if our heart is in prayer and if we're filled by the Spirit, then we have this protection from God. So being, you know, all those images are through the Bible. And Pastor Stevens, you know, liked to use this word about, you know, having a covering, being under a covering, putting yourself in a place of shelter, choosing to be there rather than out in the open, right?
Yeah. And that, then think about that statement, let your mind, your emotions, and your body be covered so that you delight to do his will. Because when we abide under those coverings, and they are many, it creates that capacity within our souls to enjoy serving God, to delight to do His will. When you step outside of those coverings, things do become abstract. Things can get confusing. We can start to look at circumstances, situations, what other people have done to us, how we've been hurt, wounded, offended. All of these things and so many more can begin to kind of press in upon us, and we lose the great protection, peace, and fruitfulness that comes as a result of abiding under the coverings.
Yeah, wow. You know, I think of, you know, what is it, the Proverbs chapter 7, where it's talking about Solomon, or he's writing about looking out of his window, and he sees a naive person walking near the corner where the adulteress hangs out. It's like, you know, it's like you're putting yourself out in the open to be captured in that kind of thing. And, you know, take cover. That's what they, you know, I mean, I've not been in war, so I don't know what that means, to take cover. But every now and then we have some things going on. We are a city campus, right? We Yes. are a city campus. Every now and then we get those codes that are announced over our phone system. And one of those codes is, in fact, to take cover and shelter in place. It's like, and I think that's a good message for us. The finished work message is to take, you know, to shelter in place, shelter in the place that God has put you once and forever by His salvation. So, you know, if you allow yourself to entertain and you open yourself to various kinds of things like that, if you open yourself to the attacks of the atmosphere, then, you know, you're going to be wounded. It really is. You're really going to be wounded. There's healing in Christ. And we get enough, you know, enemy fire without, you know, walking into it, without, you know, being discerning, being careful, being walking according to the truth, listening to the word, and having the word guide our steps, being the lamp unto our feet. Psalm 119 says a lot about how we can keep ourselves, what is it, covered, you know, keep ourselves covered by the word of God, and even in afflictions, you know, so.
A lot of snares out there. The devil lays these traps.
The trip traps, yeah.
Yeah,
and, yeah, really.
And 1 Timothy 3:7 brings that out. We need to guard our hearts and be watchful and alert regarding the snares of the devil, because he lays those traps, and I think that we can easily step into those traps when we step outside of the coverings that God has in our lives. Well, Maria has written to us and said, thanks so much. That was wonderful and timely. We agree wholeheartedly, Maria. Thanks for reaching out to us, and we appreciate you expressing your gratitude for that message. We're going to go to Harry. He's joining us locally here in the Baltimore area. He's got a testimony and a comment that he'd like to make. Harry, welcome. Go ahead. You're first today.
Hey, Pastor Lowe. Hey, Pastor Steve. Thanks so much for broadcast today. I just had a call in, and I'm going to give a testimony and two testimonies and a comment. But what you're saying is so monumental. You know, love, under that covering of love, it's like under a covering of a delegated authority where it's safe. It's like in a grace bubble. You know, you're safe there. You submit one to another, you know. And I love that reality of that. And I was thinking about when Pastor was saying about new, all things new, that, you know, love hopes all things, believes all things, endures all things. And that's like seeing the other person new, you know, seeing them new by hoping all things, believing all things, enduring all things. My testimony is when I just got saved and I found the Grace Hour, which you could call a different name back then, the radio show, and every day I heard it, I couldn't stop listening to it. And one day, Pastor Stephen's voice came on and said, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And that's when I came to the ministry. That's when it struck my heart that it's so true how God loves us and how everything is gone. It's old. And we're a new creation, you know. And that was amazing. And so amazing. In 1987, it was like I came to Bible college, and I was a freshman. And when I sat down in the first row, and Pastor Schaller came in and started teaching and preaching, and he was standing right over top of me, and he said, "Thou hast covered my head in the day of battle." And I almost died. It's like one of my favorite verses. "Thou hast covered my head." You know, God covers our head with the Word of God, the doctrine, you know, that we receive faith. And I just wanted to say, he had no idea that that was like the verse of that I loved and lived by.
Yeah. You know, when you think of that word, you know, covering, I think the thought of protection comes up. You know, a couple of years ago, we were at our youth rally up in the Pocono Mountains. We have that rally every spring, just to kick off the spring and the summer months with our young people. And we had an outdoor meeting on the Saturday night, and this particular camp had a beautiful outdoor amphitheater that they had just recently built. And then just behind us is this wonderful lake. Well, we debated as to whether or not we should have the outdoor meeting. It could get cold. It could be foul weather. And sure enough, we had the music. We had the worship. And then behind us came these dark, dark clouds that you could see rolling in. And the reason why I bring it up is because the young people and everybody there will never let me forget it. I started to preach, and as soon as I got into the pulpit and started to share the message, I mean, the heavens opened up, and it didn't start to rain. It was coming down like a torrential downpour. And I got to tell you something, Pastor Steve, I ran off that stage, and it was almost like run for your life, every man and woman for himself. And, you know, the equipment was exposed, the musicians were exposed, all of the teenagers were exposed. But you know what I wanted? I wanted to be undercover. I wanted to be protected. And, of course, they laugh about it because it was almost like, well, you only thought of yourself first. You left us all under the elements. But I was running to be covered.
Yeah.
I think we could say the same thing. In life, there's so much danger. We can see the storm clouds of difficulty and what's coming down the pike and what's happening in the midst of a pandemic and trouble here and affliction there. We just need a covering, and we have it through the Word of God in the body of Christ. And, you know, God has provided that kind of protection for us. Step away from it, there's no telling what can happen to us.
Obedience is a big thing, right? I mean, I think obedience to the Word and instruction. I did a Bible talk in Dundalk on Tuesday, and we were focused on Hebrews chapter 11. And just really, I went through the book of Hebrews, and I think the book of Hebrews, and we find great comfort in that, particularly these verses that say, "He put his blood on the mercy seat to cover our sins once for all." That's a good thing there. And then you get that list of faith heroes in chapter 11, and you come to Noah, and you think about it. It says Noah followed God's truth, expecting something that had never been seen. And we all talked about this, the fact that, you know, I think it was Michael Card wrote a song a few years ago about human tears being older than the rain. I don't know the name of the song, but like, and that's true. It's like there was nothing like a storm, like that storm that you experienced. You'd been in many of those over the course, probably on Cape Cod. You've seen them come up. I've seen them, you know, I can remember playing baseball at McCormick Elementary School over here, and there's, you know, just a big metal fence, and then the minute the lightning comes, you're like, oh my gosh, I am surrounded by metal, and you are running as fast as you can to the doorway of the school, you know. And you think about Noah, he got this instruction, and he had to build that ark over, you know, over a couple of decades, a few decades, maybe as many as 100 years, you know. He had to build that, and that was going to be the covering for him and his family. And there was only one family that got under that covering, you know. So that's a, you know, when you think about it. And then also in that same chapter, we get a little mention of Samson. And you're thinking, when did Samson lose his power? Is when his head was uncovered. It's like he got shaved and there's no covering there. Now, those are typical, you know, metaphors that God puts in there for us to understand our need for a covering.
Yeah, that's beautiful. Well, Harry, thanks for the comments and the call. And Ilhan has written to us on Facebook Live, says, Pastor Roger Robbins and his wife Elvira have returned to Turkey. And Pastor Roger, Erhan, and Ilhan gathered together tonight for prayer and a word. And now they're listening to the broadcast. And they were focusing in their time of fellowship on John 16:33 and Isaiah 32:17 and 18, the peace that God gives. He does not give us peace as the world defines peace, but he gives us his peace. And that peace is really yet another covering in our hearts, in our lives, in our minds. Amazing. Thanks, Ilhan. Appreciate that. And glad to hear that Pastor Roger is back. I'm sure that all of you there in Istanbul, Turkey have missed him. And I'm sure that he's thrilled to be back there. And watching the work of God.
Two for two. I guess he got to Turkey. Pastor Schaller got to Finland.
That's right.
That's, you know, that's amazing.
That's
if
good,
you
that's
guys
good
are
percentages.
Enjoying, you guys are enjoying Pastor Schaller in Finland, you could share a testimony or something like that.
That's right.
You know, I know that he's been, we've all watched, like, is he going? Oh.
Yeah.
Is he going? Oh. Yeah. You know, the test comes back or the wave goes too far and the countries there throw up the roadblocks and something like that.
That's incredible.
It is like,
it's a strange time in our ministry's history for traveling, no question about
that's it. That's for sure.
I mean, you talk about making decisions by faith. You can make the decision, you can make the plans, but you have to wait on God to see if
we're just going to believe. You know, the Knicks are having a decent season, and we want you to be able to go to the Garden.
It's going to happen.
You miss it. We know you miss that.
I do miss it, but even more than that, Pastor Steve, I think the players miss it.
I think so,
I got
too.
A text message from one of our players the other day, and just I asked, well, I congratulated him on having a great game when they were down and out in the West, in Minnesota in particular. And he texted back, and he said, we had a live chapel in Minnesota. And he says, and I can't wait until we're able to do the same in New York.
Yeah.
So I think when they want it like that, when they're looking forward to it, it does make you more excited about it.
Yeah, I read an article that, guy encouraged us to be a little bit more cantankerous about this thing because he seems to think that, like, if we start being a little bit more agitated about all these clampdowns, that maybe it will change the people's minds. And I think some of them have said, like, used to be a 10-day lockdown, now it's a 5-day lockdown. Now it's like, you know, those kind of things. I'm not sure that so many people are listening or watching us. I think they kind of like, I think people like giving rules, you know. I think people like exercising authority. I mean, we've experienced it. It can be like, you know, you get a little bit of authority and you can feel, you know, a little heady about it, you know. But let our eyes not be haughty.
Amen. Well, friends, the phone lines are wide open, and I'm just a little surprised, not in a bad sense, but I thought that as many of you would be stirred up by the message that you just heard and thought that we'd be hearing from some of you by phone. So there's still time for that, plenty of time, in fact. Go to your phones and fill up the lines at 800-338-7060. That 800 number, of course, is the toll-free number anywhere in North America. And then the local number right here in Baltimore is 410-483-3700. And Julie says, you know, if one person trusts God and the family, God will still be able to bless all of them. No question. You're that one person in your home, Julie, and I know that you're believing God for that blessing to extend to all of your family members, and we do pray for them as well. And Steve Perigallo says, if the Knicks are this good Zooming, imagine live. I hope it will be better, Pastor Steve. Thanks for the call, and thanks for reaching out to us. But fill up those lines, friends. We'd love to hear from you.
Yeah, I wonder, Lori is clapping, her hands clapping there. Thank you for that. Lori, are you in London also, or Britain? I'm wondering if that's Lori. I have met a Lori in UK a couple of times from part of the North London Church with Pastor John Boyce, who was there. And Pastor Raul used to, who now lives down in the old Billy Graham neighborhood down
Carolinas.
There, Carolinas. Mm-hmm. He was there in London there also. But I'm just wondering if that's who that is. But they can't always tell just by the moniker there that they put on the thing there.
You know, you mentioned some of these names like Pastor Boyce, and we think of Pastor Tony Morley.
Mm-hmm.
But Pastor Maciek.
Pastor Alistair up there in Chester near Liverpool. And there's another group, I can't remember, Boris, I think it's Pastor Boris. There was I think he's Russian or he's from that part, and he's up there in near Scotland. There was a group there. Workshop, I think that's the name of the place.
It's just wonderful to even mention their names because it's been so long since we have been together physically.
Yes.
For a conference, whether it was here in America or overseas. And Pastor Gromov mentioned to me this morning, and he was on a Zoom meeting with the Uzbeks and the Russians and different people from different parts of the globe. He mentioned that they had their New Year's conference in Moscow and had just a huge turnout. I thought he said about 170 people.
Wow, that's awesome.
I know. So great things are happening despite this pandemic. And like Pastor Steve Perigallo said, if good things like this are happening over these Zoom meetings, can you imagine how great it's going to be when we're able to come together? And speaking of that, Pastor Maciek just reminded us from Warsaw, Poland, that EuroCon is only 68 days away.
That's true. 68 days till we can. Yeah, we want to land in Warsaw. Always an amazing place. Warsaw, an amazing place. What was it? I think you did that, Pastor Maciek. You posted a picture yesterday of Pastor Schaller. Pastor Schaller preaching 30 years ago. This must have been just after Poland sort of led this. They were like with Lech Walesa and Solidarity movement. They were like sort of the first to sort of say, we would like to try something different besides the communist system, you know. And I think that sort of happened in Poland first, if I remember correctly. And then we had a couple people, Pirio being one of them, and a couple other Pastor Roger Stanger and Carl Stevens the Younger. I think they were there. I think Aya was in Poland.
Sure.
They went behind even when it was communist. They were able to go to university there. And then when things opened up, we see Pastor Schaller standing by a fountain with a translator. It's amazing.
And Julie said that Pastor Bob McGilligott was the one who taught me 30 years ago.
Oh, okay.
In Great Britain. So that, we've got great memories. God has done such a great work over these many decades now. And, it's just about abiding under that same covering that we first experienced when we, came to Christ and started to walk by faith. Still such a pleasure and such a privilege.
Yeah. It's awesome. Yeah, but hopefully this will work. This will work out that we're in Warsaw together, that we're just believing God, we're trusting God. So we're on a streak. Pastor Roger got to Turkey, Pastor Schaller got to Finland. We're all going to get to Poland. That's going to happen. That'll be amazing. And to answer a question here from Thea, Aya is in Finland. That is where
Aya is
right now.
Yeah.
And I've seen a couple of She posted a couple things on Facebook about Pastor Schaller being there. Everyone's pretty excited there. So
yeah, interesting meetings he's having over there. No large gatherings, but he's meeting with
house
small
to house.
Groups.
It's like it's a Book of Acts kind of thing.
Yeah,
hey,
back to the Bible. I love
that's
it.
That's right. There we go.
Well, we have a caller. Pastor Aiden is joining us from the Baltimore area. Pastor Aiden, welcome to the Grace Hour.
Hey, good afternoon, gents. Just driving between appointments, just listening to the message. I missed the start of it, but I think I'll listen back to the whole thing. But I'm not sure if you mentioned Isaiah 30, verses 1 and 2, but those are tremendous verses about being under the wrong covering of Egypt and Pharaoh. Yeah, I spoke about that in Owings Mills there recently with Pastor Ronaldo, and just how Egypt, you know, speaks of the past, or some say it's the, you know, the world, the flesh of the devil. I'm of the opinion it's the past. And then the strength of Pharaoh being the strength of the flesh or the strength of man, and just how strong Egypt was at the time. And you know, could have been very intimidating for the Jews and the children of Israel, but they were warned not to live in it by Isaiah, and you know, at a time when they were in the Promised Land, so, or heading for the Promised Land. So yeah, just covering. Think of just the recognition of the of good covering through delegated authority and the blessing that comes through us. That's just enjoyed the message. Thanks.
Good. Yeah, great, I like great that comments. Chapter. Yeah, that chapter. Yeah, it does begin that. I always look to that, to the verses. When you get to verse 15, it says the Holy One of Israel says, "In returning and rest you shall be saved, in quietness and confidence shall be your strength." And then it says, "But you would not. And you said, 'No, we will flee on horses.' Therefore you shall flee, and we will ride on swift horses. Therefore those who pursue you shall be swift." And I think that's one of the things. It's like the returning and the rest, resting under the presence of God, resting under the covering of God, resting under his righteousness. That's the returning and the rest is the salvation and the quietness and confidence that brings strength. But we could think that we need a faster horse or a faster car or a bigger bank account to be more, to be safe. That would cover us better. Not that we should be, what is it? Not that we should be careless with finances or anything like that. Not that we should be unwise in those kind of things, but like the size of your bank account can diminish very quickly, as people have learned throughout history, that suddenly your money can be worth nothing. You know, like we've had like sort of a period of time of almost two decades of a very little inflation, and then over the past year we've had 6 or 7% inflation for a variety of reasons, and you know, people are feeling it. It's like your money, $100 doesn't buy what it bought, you know, a year ago for some reason. Like, yeah, you know, when you get to your gas tank, the numbers keep spinning a little bit longer than they used to, or higher than they used to, right?
Yeah. That money is no covering there.
There's no covering. No, like in returning and rest shall be your salvation. Quietness and confidence is your strength. This is, you know, we pull the, you know, get, like you said, you ran from the stage in the midst of the deluge to find a place where you weren't going to get wet struck by lightning, because usually those kinds of storms come with a lot of fierceness.
Yeah, it was powerful. And you know, you mentioned that in Isaiah chapter 30, and talk about not recognizing your need for a covering. When Jesus came to, you know, to Jerusalem, to his people, to the nation of Israel, he said these words in Matthew 23, verse 37, "O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you who have killed the prophets, stone them which are sent unto you. How often I would have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathereth her chickens under her wings, and you would not." Mm-hmm. Again, what happens to us when we forsake the covering that God provides? It can be disastrous. I mean, look what happened to Jerusalem in particular.
Yeah.
Their covering in the person of Christ was present. He was rejected. He was forsaken. Okay? What happens after that? Well, 70 AD, Titus of Rome marches in and decimates the city.
That's amazing. Yep.
Yeah. It's no covering.
Yeah. When we put that passage with the other passage, Luke chapter 19, where
yes,
he says, "You did not recognize your time of visitation."
That's it.
It's like, and he's weeping over that. It's like, this is it brings the fuller picture of just how much heartache. Not only are we like wounded by this, which is what the word vulnerable means, by the way, to be woundable, like you're open to being wounded. And, you know, vulnerability is like sort of promoted as some sort of character trait. But, you know, sometimes opening yourself up to be woundable is like, you know, you'll get wounded. And Jesus said, "I came to bring you, I am the thing that makes for peace," he told them. and you didn't recognize your day of visitation. And I wanted to gather you under my wings like a hen gathers its chicks, and you would not. That's like, wow, what a statement. You would not. That's almost as tragic as the one in John 19 where it says, we have no king but Caesar, right?
Yeah, I mean, to think in that one verse, Jesus said, I would,
yeah,
but you would not. Mm. I mean, isn't that the history of God's dealings with mankind? I would. I would provide for you everything you need, but you would not receive it.
Well,
it's incredible.
Pastor did. He went right to, when he talked early in the message about Adam and Eve, he said, you know, God himself slayed the animals and covered Adam and Eve when they had, and, you know, it just, you know, I'm thinking, what was the most important part of that whole exchange? It might have been Adam saying, here I am. You know, I was hiding from you. It's like, because that was the first step back to redemption. Like we say, what was the first step back to redemption? They had already experienced the shame of disobedience, and now they're hiding in the woods, creating garments of their own covering to cover up the things that they thought were, you know, shouldn't be seen. And then God comes in the garden and he answers. I was hiding because, so that's, you know, that might have been the first confession in the Bible. I don't know. I'm just thinking about that, right?
Yeah. Well, God's covering, think about it with Adam and Eve. God's covering is a provision for you and I to be set free from trying to portray a false self.
That's,
We do not have to live that way.
That's true.
Because God's covering says, you will find acceptance in my presence if you can just be honest about your reality.
Awesome. That's a great thought. Wow.
Well, we've got to close things up.
That's a great final word there.
Pastor Sturge, we apologize, but we do, hopefully we'll get a chance to address this. He wrote to us saying, children need a solid parental covering because they're so vulnerable. Would you please give some further practical insight into this? Hopefully we'll get a chance to do this, perhaps even on tomorrow's broadcast, but you brought up a great, great subject.
Call in tomorrow,
yes,
Pastor Sturge.
That's what you
can
do.
Be a part of the conversation.
Amen. And we'll continue to discuss this all-important theme of coverings, even on tomorrow's broadcast. Pastor Schiavelli will be here sharing the devotional at that time. Friends, thanks so much for joining us on this Thursday edition of the broadcast. We're already excited and looking forward to tomorrow's broadcast, and we hope that you'll plan to be with us until when that time comes, which is a little less than 24 hours. Thanks for joining us. God bless you. Until tomorrow, we'll see you then.
Amen.
Thanks for listening to The Grace Hour. Our live program airs weekdays at 1 p.m. Eastern Time. Grace Hour is a ministry of the Greater Grace Church. You are invited to visit Greater Grace at 6025 Moravia Park Drive, Baltimore, Maryland, 21206. For more information, go to gracehour.org or call 1-800-338-7060.